Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's time for Sunday Mass with Christian Arcan on WEEI.
A convincing win in Toronto. The Bruins can close it out Tuesday night at TD Garden. 3-1 the final and 3-1 in the series.
Jack Edwards on the call. Bruins take it to the Maple Leafs again. 3-1 your final score as they go up 3-1 in the series now. Only game they lost was the Allmark game. Could have been a sweep. Could have been. Because I'll tell you what, that Maple Leafs team, they're hanging on by a thread as it is. They have no chance against Swayman. They are petrified of Jeremy Swayman. Putting Allmark back into a game this series would be the biggest gift you could possibly give that Toronto team. And I don't mean that as a slight towards Allmark, really. I don't. I mean, I think that Allmark's a good goalie. I just think that right now he hasn't had the same kind of success that Swayman has against Toronto, not even close. Really, not even close. And they are just in their own heads right now. That team's losing it. That Toronto team, they may have spiraled completely with that loss last night. Matthews is out with the splats. Poor guy. And the rest of them are screaming at each other on the bench, which, again, is not as Razor was saying in the Sunday skate before me, that's not the most uncommon thing in the world. But when you're having a team-wide meltdown, you can see, I mean, that was a little something extra there. Something extra from the normal, you know, boys chopping it up on the bench. Like, this was... You could see it. You could see it in their body language. You could see it in the way they played. You could see it just in the way that Swayman was making his saves. They would have a cross-ice pass. Swayman would get over, make the save, and you could just see their shoulders slump. They're confounded by Jeremy Swayman. And I don't know that the next team they play, Florida, probably. I don't know that Florida is going to feel that same way. But I do know this. Florida had success against Allmark last year, for sure, and against Swayman, to be fair. But Allmark started the series, and we saw how that went. I say stick with Swayman until he gives you a reason not to stick with him. He's ready. I think he's proving that to you right now. He's ready for this. I think he's built for this. And not only that, I think that this Bruins team now that has woken up a little bit, and I, again, don't know that Brad Marchand and these guys who are playing really well right now are going to necessarily be able to carry that over into the Florida series. Florida's a tough team. They're a different team. They're mentally stronger than Toronto. They're physically stronger than Toronto. They're going to be a handful, just like they were last year. But I think if Swayman continues to play in net the way he is right now, they are beatable. I think the Bruins can go on a run. I think the Bruins could make it to the Cup final this year if Swayman continues to play like this, and I think he's capable of that. I do. And I'm not just saying this now. I've been a Swayman believer for years, starting with that Islander series where they trotted Tuukka Rask, speaking of the trots, where they put Tuukka Rask out there with a torn groin. in game six or whatever it was, and kept Swayman on the bench, and they lost, obviously. And then the next year, Ullmark in that Carolina series played the first two games, and then they pulled him. Swayman goes in and plays the next five, and they lose, but he was better than Ullmark. And last year, of course, Ullmark gets hurt before the season's over. They have to stick with him because he's the Vezina winner. That one's probably the most forgivable, I'd say, out of the three. But every single time Jeremy Swayman gets passed over, every single time Jeremy Swayman, they look at him and they say, sorry, Jeremy, we're going with the other guy. Now they're finally going with him. Stop looking for reasons not to stick with him. Just stick with him. Stick with him until you have a reason not to. Don't get preemptive about it. Don't say, oh, well, we got to play Ullmark in this game. No, you don't. You don't have to do anything. You want to give him a break at some point when you're up 3-0, whatever, in a series? Maybe I'd be okay with that. Not against Toronto. Do that when you're up 3-0 against Florida. Do it when you're up 3-0 against some other team. Do it when you're up 3-0 in the Cup Final. I don't care. But not against this team. Not against these Maple Leafs. Don't give him a gift. Don't let him up off the mat. Please. I like what Jim Montgomery's doing. I thought some of those moves he made after game two were a little panicky. Van Riemsdyk scored last night. I think that you're seeing some dividends getting paid off there. It wasn't just Ullmark in game two. Ullmark wasn't the only reason that they lost that game. That was a team-wide bad showing. And I think Montgomery pulling the strings that he did has helped this team. I do. I think that there is a noticeable pep in their step. Brad Marchand just set the playoff goal record. I have a good feeling about this Bruins team. I don't know if they're going to win it all, but I have a good feeling about them. I have a good feeling that they're going to make it out of the second round this year, which they've only done once in the last decade, by the way. They've only made it past round two once, and that was 2019 against St. Louis. That's the only time. I think that's going to change this year. But not if they ignore Jeremy Swayman, not if they ignore what he's doing and insist on this rotation. Enough with the rotation, okay? Enough. 617-779-7937. I do have some other thoughts on this Marchand renaissance, but real quick, I want to get to Brendan in Shrewsbury because I opened up the show half-joking about Messi and the Miami Sound Machine coming to Gillette yesterday and the 65,000 fans that came down there. One of them was Nico, our own Nico, and one of them was this guy, Brendan in Shrewsbury, who joins us right now. Hello, Brendan. How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, Brendan?
I figured I'd pile on the craft a little bit here.
Go ahead.
Seems like a real opportunity was missed for fan service and proving their reputation. You know, a lot of people saw this as a money grab with Messi coming into town.
Mm-hmm.
I think they could have done something a little bit more special than bringing in a voice contestant and Juju Smith-Schuster.
Time out. They had a voice contestant to what, sing the anthem?
Correct. They sang the anthem, and they did a great job.
Okay, and Juju Smith-Schuster, what did Juju Smith-Schuster do? Did he do the Canadian national anthem? What did he do?
He just came out on the field as an honorary captain, from what I could see.
He was an honorary captain of the Revolution last night. Okay, so like, yeah, when the Bruins have the flag bearer or whatever, he was basically that, is what you're saying.
Yep.
Okay.
So good ideas, but poorly executed. I would have liked to have seen some fireworks maybe after that anthem. You got probably 50% of the crowd being kids in there and a future generation of fans.
Sure.
Maybe Tom Brady comes out. You got two goats in the building for a 60,000-plus sold-out crowd, so... besides that, you know, I waited in line 20 minutes for popcorn. No timeouts in soccer, so missed 20 minutes of a 90-minute game.
Well, what are the crafts supposed to do about that? I mean, come on. There's 65,000 people there.
The poor guys were scooping popcorn out of the maker as it was coming. Maybe you have some bags of popcorn ready to go or something. Again, it's a kid's – there were no beer lines. This is all kids there. So.
Fair enough.
Ice cream sold out. And it's not only that, but the people working there are saying, you know, we weren't prepared for this. And with all the lead up to this game and the traffic concerns and everything else, to not be prepared with things like that seems like a missed opportunity to me.
All right, Brendan, thanks for the call. What kind of reception did Juju Smith-Schuster get, Nico?
He got a pretty mild reception. I booed him personally.
You booed him.
Because I'm done with Juju on the Patriots. I never wanted this guy in the first place. I'm sick of this guy. I will say the Chiefs in Sporting KC brought up Pat Mahomes. Now, I know he owns the team when Messi came to Kansas City. You could have picked
Patrick
like,
Mahomes owns the team?
He owns a piece of Sporting KC.
He does?
Yes.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, I think he owns that and the Royals. He's minority owner in both, but still a piece of both.
Okay.
I think they're the same group. Regardless, Drake May was just in town. Maybe ask him if he wants to stay the night, watch a soccer game with Messi in it. Someone like a little more noteworthy than Juju, I would say. But I will say that a lot of people that worked in the stadium did say they were underprepared and like restaurants were running out, things saying they weren't ready for this. It's like,
really?
You knew how many tickets were going to be sold. You do Patriots games every Sunday in the fall. I don't understand how you're underprepared for 65,000 people. It's not even a Gillette Stadium sellout. You know,
like, you know why? You know, I'll tell you why. Because at football games, people tailgate and eat all their food in the tailgate parking lot. I don't know what the tailgate situation was like for this last night, but I don't think that they tailgate for soccer like they do for football. I just, especially if there's a ton of kids there, right? If there's a bunch of kids, they're not out there with kegs and stuff and, you know, tailgating, I don't think. So I'd imagine that was it. That's why the lines were so long. All the kids were hungry. They hadn't all, you know, gorged themselves on bratwurst and, you know, fried clams like people do at the Patriots tailgate. So I think that was probably it. That was probably the reason.
I will say I went to one restaurant. I won't say which one it was. I went to order a burger. They told me they were only making all the burgers. One, I tried to get medium rare. They said it was all going to be cooked the same way. Medium well. The worst way to cook a burger.
Medium well.
That whoever made that decision
needs
to be gone.
They should just go medium, right? You know, do the thing that takes the least amount of time.
You never cook a burger medium well under any circumstance.
Huh. Well, I mean, sometimes you just do it by accident. But yeah, I know what you mean. I hear you. I think I could probably guess what place you're talking about, too, but I won't say it. yeah, that's too bad. But all in all, good experience.
The game was good. Messi was great. The Revs blow. Kraft's
yeah, the Revs
not spending
really
money
stink,
on the team.
Huh? I mean, God, they were good like recently, weren't they? Now they really stink.
They were. They sold both their goalkeepers of the past 3 years for like a combined $30 million, and Gillette has a nice lighthouse, and the Revs don't have a goalie or a striker or defenders. Quite a few holes on that team.
Mm. Well, at least they're spending a lot on the Patriots.
Oh, yeah.
At least that's,
the lighthouse
we
looks
know
great,
the money,
though.
The money's going somewhere. 617-779-7937. Arkin, you just teased the Heat player for having a big nose. Don't be sensitive about your muffin top. That was the joke, dude. That was the whole point of the joke, is that I was literally just making fun of somebody for that. I think it'd be fine if they got Iglesias. I don't have it. I honestly don't. Jose Iglesias, I'm sure, wouldn't remember me. And the only reason I remember it at all is because I was eating ice cream for breakfast at that point in my life. It wasn't exactly like a great point in my life, you know? I'm doing much better now. If I could see Jose Iglesias now, I'd be like, hey, I eat cereal for breakfast and sometimes eggs and toast. So, meh. So, yeah, in your face, Jose. And he'd be like, who the hell are you? I'd be like, I'm the guy from the grocery store 12 years ago that you made fun of for having a little chubby ice cream belly with the ice cream breakfast. And he would not know what I'm talking about. I don't hold a grudge. I just think it's a funny story. If he came and played on the team, I think that would probably help this team. Honestly, I don't know. I haven't seen Iglesias lately. How's he looking? Is he in the league still? I know he was kicking around for a while. He still can't hit. He can never hit. But, yeah, maybe. I mean, if they need help with the glove. You think it'd be easier to find a utility infielder, don't you? You think that wouldn't be the hardest thing in the world to find in baseball?
Well, with Jose Iglesias, if I'm correct, I believe he's only played two games this season, and they're both at DH. I don't think he's playing the field
Jose
anymore.
Jose Iglesias is a DH now?
Yeah, he's like 34 years old. When I checked it, I thought I swore it said DH. I think he played shortstop last
Jose
year.
Jose Iglesias, 34 years old. He is currently a member of the Colorado Rockies. No, he was on the Rockies 2 years ago. I don't think he's on a team right now. I don't think he's playing for a team right now. I see Rockies 2022 is the last time he was playing. Let's see. Jose Iglesias is a Cuban professional baseball shortstop for the Mets. Okay, he's on the Mets. Is he playing for the Mets? I don't see any at-bats. I don't see anything for Iglesias. That means he's probably available. Go out and get him. Probably won't cost you too much. 617-779-7937. Just, you know, careful what you're eating in front of them. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. When we come back, we are going to be joined at 1230 by the great Tom King. Nashua Telegraph will get his thought on the draft as well as yours at 617-779-7937. I see your calls lined up. We'll get to those first when we come back right after.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
So I tell you what's trending.
Sunday Mass continues right now with Christian Arcand on WEEI.
Just come to the home stadium and bring out popcorn. That's all I can tell y'all. Bring your popcorn. I make people in wheelchairs stand up.
That was the quote of the weekend, I'd say. It's Arcand here, Reverend Arcand, Sunday Mass. Nice to have you with us here today. Patriots using almost all of their draft picks on offensive players, including that one. He was the second wide receiver that they picked. The first one being Jalen Polk. Out of Washington, who was teammates with Michael Penix. And that one you just heard, Javon Baker from the University of Central Florida. Steve Mensch at ESPN wrote this about Baker. He says, Baker has excellent eye coordination and can pluck the ball out of the air. His top-end speed is average, but he has the frame, vertical, and body control to make acrobatic catches and win contested catches downfield. Baker is an instinctive open-field runner. He runs hard and flashes the ability to make the first defender miss after the catch. He has a good feel for how to attack zone looks and leverage defensive backs as a route runner. Strong route runner, good hands, top-end speed, average. Frame, vertical, body control. He's 6'1", 202, so it's not like he's some big guy. 6'1", 202 is not quite Tyquan Thornton, but it's not much bigger than him. But it seems like he uses his body differently than Thornton and is able to run hard and make some moves. Love the confidence. Love him. I don't know. Maybe if I was in a wheelchair, I knew somebody in a wheelchair, I wouldn't love that comment that he made. But, you know, I don't think he meant anything mean by it. He was just talking himself up. Jalen Polk, Washington, the other wide receiver that they drafted, by the way. Steve Mensch. There were 77 players that had more receiving yards than New England's leading receiver last season, and Kendrick Bourne is coming off a torn ACL. The Patriots signed K.J. Osborne this offseason, but saying they need to continue to add playmakers after taking Drake May number 3 overall is an understatement. Polk should be a day one starter. Polk is a natural hands catcher with the radius and strength to reward his quarterback for throwing to him in 50-50 situations. Body control, he can adjust to passes thrown outside his frame and on back shoulder throws. Polk tracks the ball well and has the speed to challenge vertically. He's tough and can make plays in traffic. He also runs hard and has the balance to break tackles after the catch. Neither one of these guys were considered top-end wide receivers in this draft, which is why they got drafted where they got drafted. And Jalen Polk, I mean, listen, he was right at the end of the first round, so it's not as though he was somebody that they really reached on. That being said, Mike Reese today wrote something interesting about Buffalo and Carolina and how the Patriots were looking at the wide receiver position. Reese writes, the Patriots had a trade offer on the table to the Bills late in the first round Thursday night. According to a source, the Bills were at pick 32. Now, you remember, before the draft started, Gerard Mayo came out with the Crafts, and he said, we're picking at 3, but also we may try and get back into that first round, so watch out. And they did try. They didn't do it, but they did try, just like they didn't burn any cash, which they also tried, couldn't do it. They attempted to with Buffalo, and Buffalo said, no, we're not trading with you. Reese writes, after trading back with the Chiefs, the Bills were at 32, but instead of dealing with their AFC East rival Patriots for number 34, they chose Carolina's offer to slide back one spot to 33. Wide receivers Xavier Leggett and Keon Coleman were selected at 32 and 33 before the Patriots traded back from 34, so one can deduce that the Patriots either had Leggett or Coleman as their target, possibly both. Interesting. So the Patriots went from 34 back to 37, were able to get Polk, but went through with the trade after the guys, or assume that the guys that they wanted had gone at 32 and 33. I don't know how much they wanted Leggett or Coleman, but when Reese writes something like that, I tend to take it seriously. And these are his words. Leggett and Coleman were selected at 32 and 33, so one can deduce the Patriots either had Leggett or Coleman as their target, possibly both. My hunch is Leggett. So, I don't love that. I don't love it. Polk may end up being a very good player, but we know now that wasn't their first choice. Maybe it wasn't their second choice. And their attempts to sort of get back into that before the wide receiver rush started at the top of the second round, Buffalo said, no, we're good. We'll trade back with Carolina. And the Patriots ended up with somebody else. So I don't know if that makes you feel any different about the pick. I didn't hear a lot of Jalen Polk's name going into this draft as a guy that, oh, yeah, I'd really love it if he fell. A.D. Mitchell was one. Ladd McConkey was one. The kids from Texas, the other kid from Texas, I mean, the really fast one, the kid who set the record at the combine, Xavier, whatever his name is, I forget. You know, like there were other names that were out there. Polk was not someone that I thought was going to be going that high. And maybe I misread some of the mock drafts. Maybe I misread some of the scouting reports or whatever, but I just feel like maybe he was a little bit more of a late second, early third. But we'll see. Mensch says he should be a day one starter. And I tend to agree. It's not like he has a lot of really great receivers in that room that he has to beat out. 617-779-7937. Let's go to the phones. Paul is in Revere. Hey, Paul. Paul Revere, what's up?
Hey, Pastor.
How you doing?
How are you, buddy?
I'm great. What's
Listen,
up?
Listen, you probably got sick of me calling your show with Adam Jones about Milton.
Never.
But I'm so glad that they picked him because, you know, he's the frame of Daniels and, you know, he runs, he can throw. And the other guy there that I always called was Hooker. I know it was a Tennessee connection and Mayo
Hooker, yeah.
Is from there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, the guy, that type of quarterback is falling in to the NFL right now. That they can run. They want so much out of them that they can run, they can throw. But the biggest, I'm not disappointed in number three. Of course not, because we don't want anybody else to have them. But I got one out of three. I wanted Olt, I wanted Neighbors, but I got Milton, you know, and I know you guys got sick of me calling.
No, Paul, never. Call anytime. Joe Milton, I think, is a I opened up the show talking about Michael Bishop and how Patriots fans who are all, you got to sit for a whole year, are going to quickly change their mind on that, just like Patriots fans back in the 90s all demanded that Michael Bishop play over Drew Bledsoe. I don't think I don't think Drake May is going to be on the bench for a month with Jacoby Brissett out there leading the offense, the same offense that we all watched last year. It's not much different. You drafted a bunch of rookies. We'll see if any of them make impacts this year. You didn't really do much in the offseason other than that to make your offense better. I'm sorry. Austin Hooper's not an upgrade over Mike Gesicki. He just isn't. Maybe he will be on the field. Statistically, he isn't. Antonio Gibson, I don't think, is an upgrade over Zeke Elliott. I know they do different things, but that's a wide running back you lost and the running back you brought in. And Jacoby Brissett, I don't know how much he's going to play, but I don't know. I mean, what do you want from me? You think this offense got better? If they got better, it's through the draft, and we'll see how much better Drake May is than Mac Jones was his rookie year, because that's what we're comparing it to, right? We're comparing rookie years. Mac Jones' rookie year was very good. Is Drake May going to even have a chance to be as good as Mac was his rookie year? Because that's the problem with this, and we'll talk with Tom King about this. In fact, let's talk about it with him right now. Joining us here on the WEEI hotline here on Boston Sports Original, Tom King joins the program, Nashua Telegraph, the oldest man in the world. How you doing, Tom?
Feeling my age. I'm fine, Reverend. How are you?
I'm doing great.
I think the Patriots will be fine, but I think they'll be fine in a couple of years. I don't think it'll be this year.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think it's interesting, though, Tom, that everybody's very concerned about ruining Drake May by throwing him out there his rookie year. That's not what ruined Mac Jones. Mac Jones didn't get ruined in his rookie year. He went out and played well in his rookie year. He got ruined in his sophomore year and his junior year. That's when the ruining happened. So I don't understand why everybody's now trying to apply that to Drake May.
It doesn't apply. It doesn't apply with Mac Jones. With Drake May, he's got such great athletic ability. I think what the Patriots are going to be very careful to do is make sure it's harnessed and make sure he's got all his techniques down and everything else. And they'll take the time to do that. And I think training camp, the OTAs, all that stuff is where it's going to play out. But what they can't do, and don't mistake this for trying to, or possibly ruining the quarterback, but what they can't do at the expense of the player, but also at the expense of the team, is rush the kid. If he's not, in other words, if they're not sure that he's ready to play, don't put him out there. Right, until they feel that he is, that they are sure he's ready to play. So, you know, there's always going to be pressure from all around, fans, ownership, everything else. If, you know, they're you know, 2-5 or 2-4 or whatever, let's get the quarterback out there. I don't think that that's something that they have to do, but they have to be sure in their minds that this kid can go out there and make those kinds of plays and get his feet wet and not be, you know, not put them in a deeper hole and put his game in a deeper hole. It's all about confidence with a young kid. So, you know, Mac Jones had plenty of confidence. I don't think he lacked for that when he first came in. I think he didn't have any confidence when he left. So,
right.
So that, you know, that was a big problem. And you're right. I mean, they ruined him. But I don't know if he doesn't have the athletic ability that this kid has, that Drake May has. And, you know, I'm glad that they stayed at 3 and didn't, you know, try to trade down, and they didn't overthink it. There were 3 top quarterbacks in the draft. They needed a quarterback. They had the 3rd pick. That's what you do. And that's what they did. So now, you know, it's all about developing Drake May and getting him going. And we'll see how that all pans out, you know. But they have to go by their eyes. They have to go by their feel and see what happens.
Do you think the Crafts had a big hand in this pick? And do you think that if, you know, Elliott Wolf was empowered maybe the way a GM in Green Bay, where there's no owner, you know, or where the city owns the team or whatever, like a place like that, where you're empowered and you can make those own decisions, do you think Elliott Wolf would have done this the same way?
Well, I think you probably talked to about 200 people who said they own Green Bay, right?
Right, yeah.
I think that, look, if you're a GM and your owner says, you know, we really would like a franchise quarterback, I mean, you're going to pick it, you know? You're going to pick it. You know, I mean, as opposed to what happened down in Atlanta with Arthur Blank when he got blindsided.
I want you 2 franchise quarterbacks.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, the only way that works out is if the veteran free agent gets hurt.
Right.
You really don't want to see that happen either. But in terms of what the Patriots did, they had to make that pick. And I definitely, there's no doubt that that's what ownership wanted. And that's what ownership should have wanted, right? I mean, you can't criticize them for that. That's what they should have wanted. They wanted a franchise quarterback, and because they were picking high enough to get one. And that's why you do it. You've got the pick right up top. You don't have a quarterback, a franchise quarterback, so you've got the pick and you grab it. And that's what the Patriots did. I never bought into any of the hype, even about J.J. McCarthy, the fact that they could trade down and get a lot of things. There were a lot of reports out there that that's what they were going to do.
No, they couldn't have gotten Penix, that's for sure, unless if they traded past 8, they wouldn't have gotten him. And Bo Nix went, 12th? So if they traded with the Raiders, they would have been SOL.
I don't know if I would have wanted to get Penix as much as he is NFL ready. Two shoulder surgeries, two knee surgeries, and he's older. You know,
yeah.
Time goes by pretty quick in the NFL, doesn't it? You know, he'll be 30 before you know it. And, you know, young player, you know, now you've got a kid who's, what, May is 21, I believe. And so you've got a decade before that, almost a decade before that he hits the
But if he's sitting for 2 years like everybody wants, Tom, then it's like you sort of make it up on the back end, don't you?
He won't sit for 2 years. Nobody's asking him to sit, I don't think, for 2 years.
Maybe not two, but people really want to be careful with him, and they do want him to sit this year. We did a poll on the show on Friday. 60% said he should back up all year.
Right, but you know what? Let's see how they feel about it, and let's see how they feel he looks and how ready he is. Eli Manning with the Giants, he came in week 10. They were 5-4. And he was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, absolutely horrible. Until the final game of the year, a Sunday night game against the Cowboys. And he looked finally like an NFL quarterback. And then, you know, I mean, look, he wasn't lights out for his career, but he does have, you know, hate to remind Patriot fans.
Yeah, he's got some accolades for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. So, you know. So early on, I'd rather the kid be bad early than be bad late, okay? And that's, you know, and so the Patriots are going to have to see. They've got to judge the kid, the makeup, everything else. They already feel they have a good handle on what his makeup is and, you know, all of that. And now let's see, you know, as Gerard Mayo said last night, his famous phrase last night was, let's wait and see where they put the pads on.
Right.
So that's what we're going to wait and see.
We will. And I want to ask you about these other picks they made as well. But real quick, before we move off of the quarterback, was Drake May the guy you wanted them to pick? Like, if they could have had anybody, is that who you wanted?
Yeah. Yeah, he was. I just thought, I mean, I didn't like Daniels. I just didn't think Daniels physically, I don't know, there's just seemed too frail to me, Christian. I just didn't think he was. I don't know how he's going to hold up in the NFL. Now, Drake May is going to get even bigger if they're smart and get him even bigger than he is.
So what, Daniels isn't going to get bigger?
Daniels could get bigger, but it may take a lot longer, you know. But I liked Daniels' style is to run and go out, and, you know, he's Lamar Jackson in a way, and the problem there is he doesn't have that body so in for the NFL. So I thought that May was going to be the guy, and he would have been my choice. I really thought that. I just thought the athletic ability alone, you know, the athletic ability alone, and the stuff that he can't do, you can teach. Now Bill Belichick didn't like him, right? If Bill Belichick was still here, he wouldn't be the Patriots quarterback. I guarantee you that.
I agree with that too.
He wouldn't have been picked.
All right, so Drake May goes first. They got a couple of wide receivers, couple of offensive linemen, another quarterback in the sixth round, a tight end, and a defensive back. All in all, the most offensive draft they've had maybe since you started covering the team back in 1856. What do you think about them going all offense like this, and what do you think of some of these other guys that got picked?
Well, first, that was 1857. but anyway, I think that, well, Polk, we know why Polk is there. Now, it's interesting about the fact that they I don't think Polk was their first choice either, but I think he was once other receivers disappeared. And also, don't forget, Polk had a guy in the building who really liked him, in Tyler Hughes, you know, who was his receivers coach. So in Washington, so that was a natural fit for them. They felt it was that, you know, everybody was talking about the quarterback. Let's make the safe pick with J.J. McCarthy. Well, Polk is a safe pick to them as a receiver. Because he can do a few things.
Hmm.
Now, I really like Javon Baker, the touchdown maker. All right? He
seems to have some sort of medical abilities, too, it seems like.
Yeah, right. I know it. Yeah. All right. He is a character.
Yeah.
Can he play? Gerard Mayo thinks he can. Gerard Mayo, you know, thinks he's a baller, right? He thinks he's all about ball. And that's the kind of kid you want as a receiver. He's just got to learn the NFL game. And there's good scouting reports on him making plays. So you just, you know, did anybody think Pop Douglas? I mean, look, their receiving corps. Pop Douglas, their best receiver. He was a sixth-round pick.
I know.
Sixth round. That's how bad the receiving corps is.
It's bad, yeah.
So it's not, you know, I mean, if Bourne is healthy, he's their best receiver, but it's going to be a while probably before he comes back. So, yeah, maybe Polk could start. Now, the linemen, I don't know. It just seems to me to be more of the same with them in terms of they're collecting as many linemen as they can possibly find and hope that they can get a mix and work it out. You know, Wallace is can play anywhere. He's always versatile and everything else, but he's never played left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
But he says he can. And they say he can. Well, how do you know? You know, well, you know, we'll find out.
We'll all find out together.
Right. We'll all find out at the
same time. When Matthew Judon's bearing down on him in camp, we'll find out right then, I think. Yeah,
yeah, right. Exactly. When somebody, and when the next quarterback is on his back, right?
Right, yeah.
That's how we'll find it. Probably would have been better off drafting Penix because they're better at right tackle maybe than they are left tackle.
Good point.
So, but, you know, everybody, it just seems like they want flexibility in their linemen because they don't have a true left tackle and they don't know who can play left tackle. So they're going to have to wait and find out. It's going to be an interesting training camp. There has been as much off-season interest in a 4-13 team.
I know.
That I've ever seen before. Okay, and I know football is king. Football rules, but
yeah, but
you know,
the Commanders aren't getting this kind of attention, and they picked ahead of you. Like it's different. You're right. It's different with New England.
It's different. All you know, and that's what 20 years of winning did.
Yeah,
you know, and everybody wants to get back to that. And Gerard Mayo had a great line last night. He said, you know, well, you know. You know, we'll know a lot about this draft in a couple of years, but, you know, you guys will probably know more. You know, you probably think you'll know more in 2 months. And that's the problem with the NFL draft. Everybody wants you to draft somebody who's going to play right away. And that often doesn't happen.
Yeah, agree with that.
In fact, the majority of the time. So we're just going to have to go through these names and wait and see. And I think, you know, three or four of the guys they picked yesterday are probably going to – maybe three – 2 to 3 to end up on the practice squad.
All right, before we let you go here, Joe Milton in the 6th round. Is that the end of Bailey Zappe with Bazooka Joe joining the team now?
Yes. Either that or he's going to, you know, spend time at tight end.
Right.
Or
he said that's not happening. He said he's not going to do that. So
That's what they talked to him about, but, you know, that people could change their mind. So, but yeah, you would think that may be the case, but two rookies in the quarterback room, you know, once the season starts, preseason, fine. Once the season starts, I don't know about that. The problem I see is, look, Zappe didn't seem to play nice with others. At least he didn't play nice with Jones. So, is Zappe going to take to being the number three and being inactive every Sunday? I don't think so. You know? So my guess is that Zappe won't be on the roster once the season starts. But at the same time, you only have one veteran quarterback there.
Right.
I'd rather have two and a rookie. Two and a rookie is the best way to go, I think.
All right, so, we'll leave it right there then. Tom King, great stuff as always. Always good to hear from you, my friend. Thanks for taking the time today.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me, Chris.
All right, once again, Tom King of the Nashua Telegraph joining us here on Sunday Service. We'll come back and wrap things up right
after. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
After this.
Now, more of it. Sunday Mass with Christian Arcan on WEEI.
Reyes trying to put his arrow on the board and complete the shutout, which would be the Red Sox fifth this year. Runners lead at first and second. The pitch. Swinging a fly ball right field. Abreu back two steps. He's there. He has it. And the Red Sox have hurled their fifth shutout this season. A combined effort finished by Pablo Reyes as they roll over the Chicago Cubs 17-0 to tie this series at one apiece. The Red Sox stay over 500 at 15-13 now. The Cubs drop to 17-10 in a one-sided affair. Real blowout here at Fenway Park on this beautiful afternoon.
You got to hand it to these Boston Red Sox. You think they're just going to pack it in and say, bleep this, you know? Everybody's hurt. They're a half game out of a wild card right now. They have a better record than the Rays and the Blue Jays. And no matter what gets dealt to them, they seem to somehow, some way, overcome it. They're very resilient. I know it's not even May yet, but they have been. This has been a very trying month of April. And for all the crap that we gave this team and, you know, Alex Cora and Craig Breslow and ownership and everybody else, and ownership still deserves all the crap that they're getting. I'm not letting them off the hook here. But these guys, Bradford said it. This team doesn't know any better. Ignorance is truly bliss. They don't realize how pork they are. They don't realize how bad this situation is with this roster and these injuries and the rotation and everything else. They just go out there and play, and it works. 17 runs? They beat the Cubs 17-0. The Cubs are good this year. The Red Sox. These Red Sox, who trotted out Jaron Duran, Rafi Devers, Tyler O'Neill, and Willy Abreu as their top four. Which, again, I mean, Willy Abreu has been unbelievable this year. Tyler O'Neill's back from his injury. He was off to an unbelievable start. Devers hasn't been great, but he's getting better. And with Josh Winkowski getting the start, going three innings, they got Winkowski out there pitching. Bernardino was supposed to be the long man. He only went one inning. And they patched it together with Slayton and Boozer after that. And it didn't matter because, you know, you get four innings into this thing and the game was long over and they just kept piling on runs in the eighth. It's nice to see. It was nice to see that these Cubs fans don't just get to come in and take over Fenway Park. You know, these Cubs fans, just like the Dodgers fans last year and all these other teams who come in and invade Fenway Park while their team kicks the crap out of the Red Sox, which, by the way, they did the other night. But it was nice to see the Red Sox answer back. It was nice to see them send those pinstriped Midwesterners home sad last night. I enjoyed that. I hope they do that again tonight. And I'll tell you what else. I don't know exactly where this is all going to go, but the Red Sox have this little celebration that they do. They were doing it a lot last night. You saw that? The little, I don't know. It looks like they're digging out of a hole. I know that's not what it is. It's supposed to be they're like treading water, I think, right? They're keeping their head above water. Isn't that what it is? What is it, Nico?
I'm not 100% sure, but I think it's probably treading water more than digging a hole.
It's probably like something that's like some gross inside joke or something, if that's what it really is.
Could be.
You know? Like when they used to shake their, they used to shake the, they start clacking when they got on second base. They don't clack anymore. Now they do the, and listen, that's pretty appropriate for this team. That's pretty appropriate for this team. This team is treading water. This team is trying to survive. You know, the ship crashed into an iceberg and they're all just trying to hold on to a piece of wood. That's basically what this season has been so far. And it's been kind of entertaining. Not exactly major star power or anything like that, but these guys, they're easy to root for. And I enjoyed that last night. I enjoyed that beatdown. I enjoyed everything that happened this weekend. On the field. We'll see how this draft ends up going. But I loved what I saw from the Celtics, the Bruins, and the Red Sox. John Lyons is coming up next with KJ. I don't know where he is. He's around here somewhere. There he is. There's the guy who's taken over WEEI Late Night, which I started, by the way. Me and Ryan Garvin started that show. John Lyons now has taken it over. It's been brought back. I'm very happy about that. Lyons and KJ have you until, I believe, 3 o'clock. And they're coming up next year. I want to say thanks again to Tom King. Great job by Nico behind the glass. I'm Arcand. You can hear me tomorrow at 2 o'clock with Jones and Mego. I'll talk to you then. Goodbye. Mass has ended. Go in peace.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.